Are you a man looking for an intensive program to help you overcome your sexually addictive behaviors? Gateway to Freedom is your answer. Gateway to Freedom is a three-day intensive workshop for men seeking to overcome sexually addictive behaviors. Whether married, single, or divorced, Gateway to Freedom will help men regain hope for a new life of purity and real contentment. The workshop is conducted by experts in the field of sexual addiction recovery. Your experts have over 35 years of combined experience. Read testimonials of workshop alumni at gatewaymen.com. Get all the info and register online at gatewaymen.com or call 1-800-49-PURITY.
Hi, my name is Jonathan, and I'm the founder of the Gateway to Freedom Workshop. I want to personally invite you to be part of our next intensive coming up December 5th through the 7th. So call us today at 1-800-49-PURITY or visit gatewaymen.com.
Welcome to Pure Sex Radio, training men, educating women. Are you ready to get real and start living each day in purity? This dynamic program is designed to educate, encourage, and equip listeners with the tools necessary for living a life of sexual purity. Pure Sex Radio brings you the best in mobile talk radio. Listen to real life struggles, learn how to overcome lust, pornography, and sex addiction, and get serious about purity. Your hosts for Pure Sex Radio are Jonathan Doherty and Stephen Cervantes. Jonathan is the director of Be Broken Ministries and founder of the Gateway to Freedom Workshop for Men. Stephen is the founder of the Hope Counseling Center. Visit us online at puresexradio.com. And now, please welcome Jonathan and Stephen on Pure Sex Radio.
Good day, radio listeners. Welcome to this week's edition of the Pure Sex Radio broadcast. We're glad to have you here with us. My name is Jonathan, and I'm here with Stephen. Stephen, how are you doing today?
I'm blessed and grateful. Lots of gratitude today.
Excellent. Well, before we get started this morning, I want to let you know about a workshop that's coming up, our final workshop of 2014. This is our Gateway to Freedom workshop for men. It's a three-day workshop for guys who are really wanting to overcome sexually addictive patterns. It's a great catalyst no matter where you are in the process of recovery and healing and growth. And the neat thing is this final workshop of the year, we're running kind of a year-end special. So it's $300 off the normal cost of $799. So if you'd like to learn more about that workshop and maybe get information from us about the special, please contact us. Just call 1-800-49-PURITY or go to gatewaymen.com. So Stephen, let's speaking of Gateway, we had a one of our alumni that shared some interesting things with us maybe regarding dealing with a wife's anger. And so I want to just kind of pass it off to you and see if you can tell us where we're going to go this week.
Thank you for the handoff. Yes, brother in Christ, a Gateway man, gave me permission to share some of his struggle and his growth in dealing with his wife and some of her anger. You know, male sexuality is very confusing to women. They don't get it, and we don't get it sometimes.
Yeah, it's pretty confusing to us, too.
But sometimes a husband will do something stupid, and the wife will learn about it, and then they have to go through a healing process. And so the question is, when everything comes out and there's a lot of pain and damage done in the marriage, a wife often gets angry, right? That's her response. How could you do this? Doesn't make any sense. What were you thinking? You know, you've heard all that before. And so sometimes anger goes away quickly. Sometimes it doesn't go away so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about a situation where anger rises and then wanes a bit, and then it sparks off and it sets a tone, it like sets a forest fire, and then it burns itself out for a bit, and then it flames up again. And this can last for a long time. Mm-hmm. So how does a man deal with his wife's anger? That's the topic.
Yeah, and I think it's a good one to look at, kind of no matter whether or not you're in kind of the niche that we minister to, the guys who are struggling with sexually addictive behaviors. I think this is a good, even broader topic, just in marriage in general, even in just relationships in general, of what happens when a wife is, you know, angry, expressing anger for whatever reason. We'll look at that in a minute. How can that man respond? And I think this is, we've kind of laid out 10 things here of ways in which he can respond.
Yes. So some of the questions are, how do I deal with her anger? Or what about the emotional pain that she's struggling with? What do I do with these anger outbursts that occur? And then what do I do when they're targeted at me?
Mm-hmm.
And how long will this anger last? It should be gone by now. Isn't it going away soon? And then what triggers these anger outbursts?
Mm-hmm.
And so this is like foreign territory that you have to map. And she's sort of driving this whole thing. And to some degree, you're following as she vents out and cleans up her system. And she's using her anger and pain to protect herself.
And I think it's important to say at the get-go here that I think what we're trying to help with is how to respond. We already know how to react.
Yes.
I mean, I think if we think about our relationships, if we think when somebody expresses anger in my presence, kind of whether it's pointed at me or maybe just pointed everywhere, I think our initial response is to react. You know, because anger is emotional. You know, anger is an emotion. And so I think when one person is expressing such a strong emotion, because anger usually is a strong emotion, I think it automatically draws out emotion in whoever's nearby, wouldn't you say?
You get caught up in it. There's no question.
I think it's very hard. Like I think it would be very hard if your wife is having an angry outburst that you can't feel a thing in her presence when she's doing that. I think it's, you'd have to be incredibly numb. And some guys unfortunately have completely numbed out. But I think strong emotion sort of draws out strong emotion. So we're going to try to help guys understand how can you better respond, not simply react to.
That's a good frame. Anger. That's excellent. So the question then becomes, what do you do with a wife who's sort of stuck in an unforgiving mood that's lashing out and it doesn't go away quickly? And it's almost a season of this unforgiving mood. And so we asked our brother to tell us 10 things that he found helpful or that he's done or insights, because this is a community of men that share with men, mm-hmm. to build and encourage one another. So we're going to go over a list of 10 things that he said he's been learning and trying and doing, in hopes that if you're caught in one of these seasons of very difficult times, you can think sort of outside the box and not just react and be impulsive and shut it down and make it go away, but that you can be emotionally smarter in these difficult moments. So what's number one?
Well, number one, he said, is feel the pain from her heart. So I think it's an interesting sort of wording and maybe a picture that he's painting. Number one is he's saying connect with the feeling. You know, because I think a lot of times, again, guys, we want to react, and because we're probably in some ways, especially the guys we deal with that have developed sexually addictive patterns, generally, maybe I could say emotionally stunted, emotionally immature. A lot of times when such a volatile kind of emotion erupts in our presence, we're heading to the hills, man. We're running. We're trying to figure out a way to hide, escape, run away, because we're not necessarily used to engaging and allowing ourselves to feel on a level that is not only with our own pain, but certainly not with somebody else's pain. And so I think what he's saying is allow yourself to step into the emotion that she's feeling, but from her perspective, I guess. Maybe try to see, I guess the word that comes to mind here is empathy. Can you, when she's, you know,
in pain,
when she is angry and she's having, she's struggling,
yeah,
then maybe allow yourself to, what would it be like if I were in her shoes? What would it feel like if I were in her shoes? Rather than what our typical response is how does this make me feel? And I'm going to just lash out back at you.
So the thought that comes to me, feel the pain from her heart, is what comes out is reflective of what's inside, right? So think about an oak tree. It's got as much root system down below as you can see on the outside, above ground as below ground. So when you see this tremendous thrashing in pain, this sense of loss in her life of this foundation she thought she had and this reliable man she had, when her pain is about her grief and her trying to rebalance herself and even make sense out of all this, and she's thrashing around, realize she's teaching you a lesson.
Mm-hmm.
And don't run away and pay attention and stay and watch the pain come out of your wife. You're not going to die.
Well, and I've heard you say this before, too, that this is an opportunity to learn about your spouse. Because if she's talking, she's telling you who she is. I think you could also say if she's emoting,
yes,
she's telling who she is as well and what she's feeling. And so I think that's what he's getting to here.
Yeah.
We can either look at it like this is uncomfortable for me, or we can look at it as like this is somebody I love who's sharing with me on a deep level who they are and what they're feeling and what they're struggling with.
Ooh, you sound smart. That is good.
And I do think
it is about her.
And do,
can you stay and watch and pay attention?
And I do think if you can make that, it seems like a monumental shift, but it's a small shift. If you can make that shift, I think your disposition toward her can soften and change. And a lot of times, that sort of brings the volcano down, you know? I'm not saying it will. I'm not saying it's a formula.
Or it's going to go away today.
Right. But I do think a softer response, a response that's like he's saying, feel the pain from her heart, is getting on her side of the table and going, okay, I want to see what's going on. You're sharing with me what's going on. And having that empathy and learning her.
So number two, he said, when I'm dealing with this anger coming from my wife and this unsettledness and lack of forgiveness, he said, it's also an opportunity for me to look more deeply at what I actually did.
Mm-hmm.
Look at myself. Who am I? What have I become? What did I think I could pull off and get away with without consequence? What? Look at me. Look more deeply at me. Look at what I have become, and now it's out in this marriage.
And I think it's interesting because he put in parentheses on this one. So he says, look more deeply at what I actually did, and then parentheses says, more than looking at it like an addict. And it kind of hit me. Because I think of the way if a wife has an outburst and she's saying, you know, because a lot of times the outburst, you know, especially upon discovery of a bunch of secrets and betrayal and these kind of things, these outbursts are going to be directed at the husband. And so I think the way an addict often looks at that kind of outburst is through this grid of shame. So what he's doing is he's not looking at what he actually did. He's looking at how this outburst is making him feel like a worthless, perverted, you know, whatever else.
And then he goes inside.
And then he goes inside. Oh. He goes into his shame. He keeps his focus self-absorbed.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of saying, can I take the same kind of objective, even though it's angry, can I take the same objective view that she has that says, look at what you did. Can you see how, you know, viewing pornography and having an affair and doing all these things is not only wrong, but how incredibly painful and hurtful that is to me. And if he's able to say, okay, let me look more deeply at what I actually did, he might get to a place of brokenness, humility, remorse,
that's good,
confession, you know?
Yes.
Whereas if he's looking at it like an addict who's very self-absorbed he's going to probably go straight into, like you said, inside mode, shame mode, and then kind of have a pity party probably. You know, is
and she doesn't need that.
No.
Right? You're going to go over there and be broken, sad puppy, you know, and I'm trying to tell you where I am and you over there looking like I'm beating you up. How's that going to help us?
Yeah, and that's just it. And I would even suggest that looking at it like an addict is manipulative in its nature.
So that's what he's doing.
Because
he's
because if he's over there, like you said, like a whipped puppy and making it seem as if her anger is what's causing him to feel like, I need to be over here like a whipped puppy.
That's a great insight. She's doing this to me. I have to act like sad, broken.
And what our brother here is saying is, no, I actually need to look more deeply at what I did.
I brought this on. I'm at the center of it.
Yeah.
Right? I'm initiated this event. Wow, that's good. All right, number three, just look up. When it's long, when it's painful, when there's no end, when you've heard it again and again, he says, don't forget to look up. Just look up. Don't look down. Don't have tired eyes and heavy shoulders and carry the weight. Don't forget, sometime in the storm, look up.
And I would say this is on a couple levels. There's a couple things that I would say that you can do practically out of this. Look up means look her in the eye. You know, I think sometimes what ends up happening is what happens. Anger bursts out of this woman.
Yeah.
And I think the initial reaction is look away or look with anger back at her. But I think the idea of looking up is look at her. Be willing to look up.
Yeah, hold your head up and look at her. Be present with her. That's good.
The other thing, too, is I think just look up in the sense of, you know, we know the old phrase that says you can't see the forest for the trees.
Right.
And what that means is getting so bogged down in the minutia of, and this is where I sometimes struggle, is if my wife is in pain or if she's feeling anger, expressing just any sort of what I would call really a lively emotion, I think my tendency is to latch on real specifically to certain words and get tied down into, well, you said this? And what that's doing is I'm getting locked into small things that don't matter to the bigger picture of what's going on here.
So look up at the big picture.
Look up from the things you're trying to get attached to that are really trying to make you argumentative.
Yeah, so saying find a word she said wrong and argue.
Yeah, it's like look up from that and go, what is the context here? What's the bigger picture of
that's
what she's
good.
Struggling with?
And I put
with?
Look up for hope.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the storm, in the battle, when the dirt's flying and debris and it looks like a tornado swirling around, a hurricane, look up, right? And find some hope and some rest. Number four, see the future. Remember the future. There is a future. Today is not the future. Today is today. Remind yourself, when it's bad, there is a future that's different than the present.
I think of the verse that says, pain may last for the night, but joy comes in the morning.
Amen.
And I think that's an important thing to remember, that if you can remember that life in its entirety is very seasonal, then I think you can, even though, I mean, I'll be the first to admit, these kinds of seasons seem eternal. I mean, I've been there in the sense where you wonder, is there ever going to be a sense of relief? Is there a light at the end of this tunnel? Because it just feels so heavy.
And you know, I've had a night where I sort of tossed and turned and got up and down, and I thought, is this night going to ever? Mm-hmm. I'm talking about one night, and you're talking about many
months
days
and
that weave together, right?
And I would say this, too. I mean, I love the example of tossing and turning in the night. Isn't it interesting? You would probably admit that on that night, it seemed even as if time slowed down.
That's right. That's right.
And I think, listeners, I think that's something, husbands out there, it may feel like the clock has stopped. It may feel like you're going through the same, it's like Groundhog Day. You're going through the same day over and over and over again and wondering, is there ever going to be a break in this? And I think what he's saying is really insightful here. Mm. Life is seasonal.
Yes.
And while you do need to work on things that are going to help you have a new season dawn, you're not going to be here forever. You know, so it's important to see that the future is out there.
So So we are going somewhere, and we're going through a refining and cleansing process. And you're watching your wife literally work through to rebalance her system. I'm angry, but I don't want to stay angry forever.
Yeah.
I'm hurt, and I can't make sense of this. I don't want to die confused, mm-hmm. but I got to get to a solid place where I can stand, and I'm going to show you how disoriented I am in anger and pain and confusion, and I'm going to let you know because you're part of this process.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm really rebalancing, and one day I'm going to get tired of being tired. I'm going to be tired of being angry. I'm going to be tired of being messed up and confused.
And I think part of what she's revealing in that is a question to him, which is, are you going to help me in this process? Or are you going to keep hindering me by doing the things you've been doing?
Wow. Immature, stupid, withdraw, attacking, all those things. Are you going to be wise and realize the process must go forward? And I'm mm-hmm. not trying to destroy me or destroy you. I'm in pain.
Yeah, she's trying to just find a guardrail somewhere that she can hang on to, you know?
That's good. So number five, he says, when you're in this storm of your wife's anger and rage and disappointment, and she's lost and swirling, make sure you reach out. And he said it several times, reach out, reach out, reach out to others and to God. But during this part, he said, reach out to brothers and support.
Mm-hmm. And I think this is important. You know, I like the way he puts it. He says, reach out to others, not just God. And what he means by that, I think, is very important, because I think sometimes we try to so compartmentalize our lives as men. And so we see it like, and a lot of times that means we're all or nothing. So we think it's either, listen, I take it all to God or all to my brothers.
Mm.
And what he's saying is actually it's a hybrid. You know, it's like absolutely you reach out to God. And sometimes you got to do what we call sort of those lightning bolt prayers. You know, it's like just send them up real quick because you're just, you know, feel like you're drowning. But mm-hmm. I think what I see here is almost more of an intentionality, because reaching out to brothers requires at the very least, hey, picking up a phone.
Mm-hmm.
It might require like going to a coffee shop and meeting with a guy, going to a brother's living room. You know, so he's saying there's a different dynamic to what you've done in the past. In the past, you've reached in,
mm-hmm.
you've isolated, you've gone. And so when she's been upset, what have you done? You've used that as a trigger to justify going and acting out, saying, see, this woman's so whatever, and I'm going to go do these things. What he's saying now is you're shifting the paradigm. You're going to not only stay in the moment with your wife, but you're also going to process that moment with other guys. You're going to say, I need a community of men that can hear my heart, hear my struggles, hear what's going on, and actually be able to relate to me in this season in a way that's going to connect with me as a man.
And I, when you're saying that, I'm thinking about my brothers. When I go to them, I can sort of refocus, and they give me ideas, and I can rest, and I can be renewed, and I can be distracted, and I go play because I still have to go home.
Right, absolutely.
But I can go be with my brothers, and I can get some relief for a moment, and then I go back to my project.
Mm-hmm.
Number six, he said, don't forget to believe. Don't forget to believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, because the moment you don't, Satan's going to bite you.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's huge, because obviously our anchor in the storm is our solid rock, mm-hmm. Christ. And so we do not want to overlook that. I'm glad that he put this in there, because it's like, man, that is so essential to this whole process, because it does feel like a storm. It does feel like you are on choppy seas when your wife is having an outburst. But we have a very real enemy that wants to leverage that to create further division in your relationship. And if you'll be willing to say, no, 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 the Bible says what God has brought together, let no man tear apart. You know, and so it's like we need to be united even in our difficulty to work through this.
So our brother is Christ, and we say, help me, strengthen me, walk with me. And then we have a conversation with the Father also going, are you watching this?
Mm-hmm.
Bless this daughter. And so stay spiritually connected to Father, Son, and Spirit so the storm doesn't overwhelm you and overtake you, but that your faith is found even if you're in a lion's den,
mm-hmm.
right? If you're sitting in a hole sold off by your brothers in the desert, that you hold on to Father, Son, and Spirit. Number seven.
Number seven says, listen to your wife. And he says, really listen. And I love what he says here. He says, this one is hard, real hard. And I think every guy out there would probably agree with this, that especially when it's one thing to listen to your wife when everything's calm, circumstances are great, bills are paid, kids are healthy. It's one thing to try to listen in that context. To try to listen in the context where she is yelling and her face is red and that vein on her neck is popping out, you know, that's hard. Because we want to put up our defenses. We want to react. We want to punch back, you know, and that kind of stuff. And so he's saying you really got to dig in and listen. And I think that goes back to number one about feeling the pain from her heart. Mm-hmm. They go together. On the one hand, you're trying to connect with her emotionally. On this side, you're trying to listen and say, what can I glean from this? What is she telling me?
And I'm thinking about the depth. Here he's saying, go into the deep places of your wife. And pain is a deep place mm-hmm. because it's confusing and she's thrashing. But there's great depth in knowing her.
Yeah.
So go into the depth. Number eight, realize that anger will subside. It always does. And then the forward steps occur. So we can take a step. We might go back to anger, and then we can take a step. We're not going to have a marathon as we come out of this. If we can get around the block, we're doing good, right? Because we're going slow when we come out.
And I think this is important because this kind of goes back to the seasonal aspect that we looked at. Is if you think about yourself when you think about anger, I actually think our bodies physically are designed in such a way that we cannot perpetually be in a state of anger. It's exhausting.
Right.
So I think there is a point at which even our bodies will crash, and actually that's a good thing because it gives us a break. It gives your wife a break. It gives you a break. It's like,
yes. And
so just realize there's a cycle here. You don't know what the time frame is, but there is a point at which a body will even start to kind of break down and go, I can't stay in this state of, you know, heightened anxiety and anger forever.
So number nine, he makes a statement, silence is not golden at times. And I got to thinking about that. Tell me what you think it means, because what I'm thinking it means is the silent treatment is not that great.
Mm-hmm.
There's great comfort when we have a rhythm of talking and going back and forth and being present and enjoying each other's company. But when you're just silent, it's just your anger repackaged coming at me.
Well, and I would say it this way. I'd say do not be fooled in thinking that silence is a resolution to a problem.
Oh, that's good.
No, you have to talk out to resolve, you know, especially when you're talking about emotions like anger and things like that. You can't just say we're just going to stop talking and then somehow that resolves it. It may get ignored and it may not quote unquote come up again, but I promise you it's festering in there somewhere. So you have to talk through it.
Number 10, your wife is your strength if you allow her to be. God gave her to you for a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And so part of the growth, deepening, openness, honesty includes dealing with pain and hurt and finding a way to connect and nurture one another at the deepest possible places in our being.
You know, if you go all the way back to Adam, what did God say about Adam? Essentially said he needs a helper. He didn't say, I think it'd be a good idea if he had a help. He says, no, it's actually not good that he's alone. And by making him a helper suitable for him, which was a woman, he said, now he's complete. Now he's got the full image of God. So it's like, guys, don't be fooled into thinking that you don't need your wife. We are not complete. We need her to help us, to sharpen us. And so when she's in pain, we need to respond to that in a way that says, I want to help you. And so there's this circle there that's saying, I want to help you because I need you.
And staying means loving.
Yeah.
Working means loving. Feeling and just being there in pain with her means loving. And so not running away, avoiding, denying, minimizing, right?
Well, listeners, we hope that this has been helpful for you, at least in being able to think through some of the issues about how to deal with anger and how to respond to it in a way that is healthy and good. And if you've got more questions and need more help, just contact us at puresexradio.com. And we'll look forward to having you back here next week on the Pure Sex Radio broadcast.
Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries. Visit us online at puresexradio.com.